Thank you so much. I just would like to remind people now that we have some time for people to submit questions. I'd like to go over the process again. If you have a question to submit to presenters, use the question and answer chat box in the bottom right-hand corner. And we do have one question that I'd like to start out with. This question comes from Michigan. Now that so many states can send and receive HL7 messages, how close are we to being able to share immunization histories from state to state?
Okay, I can take that. That's still a big challenge. We, you know, despite all the interoperability activities,
there are still administrative reasons why interstate data exchange is still a problem.
Start over.
Okay, I'm told that I should start over, that people couldn't hear me, so I'll start again. The question of state-to-state exchange of immunization data is continues to be an administrative challenge, despite all of the, you know, interoperability enhancements that we've pursued and enhanced. There are a number of administrative reasons, including state-specific laws regarding redisclosure of information that really have made this very difficult to address. So I don't really have a direct answer for you about that. I'm except that in the future this continues to be an issue, and we will try to address it when we have the means to do so.
Hi, this is Amy. I'd like a chance to respond to this question as well. First, I wanted to say that our experience has been that in most cases, a memorandum of understanding needs to be signed between the states that are exchanging data, and actually getting these MOUs signed is quite a challenge. We're in a current process now with New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York State, and New York City. And we have three out of the four of us now signed on to one common MOU, and we're hoping for the fourth to come on board very soon. But I also want to ask one of my co-authors, Angel Aponte, he's our computer specialist, to respond to this question, because I believe that there are actually a number of registries already exchanging data across state lines in HL7. Angel?
Right. So Minnesota and Wisconsin are exchanging data, is my understanding, and so are Alabama and Mississippi. You also, during the Katrina emergency, you had the Louisiana registry available to many people, and there's also a paper on the data exchange between Houston, Harris County, and Louisiana that I would encourage you guys to look up that has some very interesting information in it. And in terms of, so the legal issues are the biggest barrier, or at least one of the barriers there. And then the other one is one that I'd like to knock down, which is the technical barrier. I think that it could be burdensome to have every registry write code to talk to every other registry. And I think it makes more sense to build one service, open source and free and available for any registry to download and use in their own jurisdiction, that is coded to talk to all of the immunization registries' web services, real-time web services, for querying. And that would enable you, once you have an MOU in place with some partners, to basically put the authentication information, the user ID and password, into a file, set up the software, and integrate your registry with it so that when a query comes into your registry or your IIS, it automatically and in parallel queries multiple systems and is able to pull data from those systems as necessary. So I actually have a diagram. That's an idea that I had some time ago that I'm actually starting to push. So that's the idea behind the technical idea behind that implementation anyway. And it's just one idea that could be better, or some optimizations that we come up with other than that.
This is Gary again. I have a follow-up. Good comments from Amy and Angel, and you're right. There are a number of region-specific grantees that are doing exchange of immunization information state to state or state to city, whatever. They include Washington and Oregon and a number of others. And you're right. They've all signed memorandums of understanding. But it's probably not realistic to have, you know, all grantees, all 50 states have memorandums with all other states. And so Angel's proposal is a novel solution to some of that, if that were possible. And so it may be something we'll want to explore at some point with ERA and with other community stakeholders. Sounds like the feasibility of that might be good. We'll see. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Our next question is about VISs and barcoding. Will you be barcoding the VIS in other languages also?
Yes, I am. The VIS in other languages will be barcoded, but it would be the same barcode would be used as the ones in English. So if it's Manactra or whatever, you know, it would be the same barcode.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
I have a question which apparently only I can see, and so I'll read it. It says, and this is from Linda Saung. I hope I'm not messing up your name too much. We are aware that the proposed certification standards for meaningful use stage 2 are making direct a required transport layer, and SOAP web services are optional. What implications will this have for registration supporting SOAP and real-time bidirectional communication? It'll have a significant impact. And, you know, so we're in a comment period for meaningful use stage 2 rules, and I encourage you to submit some comments that would maybe try to make SOAP a certifiable requirement as well. So we'll be submitting some requirements of that, and I know that both the American Immunization Registry Association and the American Immunization Program Managers will be supporting some comments as well, or providing some comments to CMS and the ONC on their proposed rulemaking.
Okay.
We have a question on state registries and the exchange of information between registries and COCASA. Question is there an exchange of information between the state registries and COCASA? I think Ken wanted to take this one.
No, I think
this is Zeri. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's another question in here about the VIS.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe the next round.
Is there an exchange of information between the state registries and COCASA?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, actually. Maybe in some instances there are, but I don't know.
Okay. Okay. The next question I have here is, do you have HL7 in order for the barcoding to, do you have to have HL7 in order for the barcoding to work as well? Ken, do you know if you have to have HL7 in order for the barcoding to work as well?
No, you don't. You don't have to have that. That's a feature. You know, we had different models for submitting information from the immunizers into the registry. HL7 is one of those, but it's not the only one. You know, we're trying to get a good representative sample about kind of what is actually taking place in the community, and so to make that restriction it would be problematic. So we're trying to get a broad spectrum of all situations or all data models out there.
All right, thank you. And we have time for one last question. I'm wondering if you could expand on the concept and definition of interoperability.
Not sure what kind of answer you're looking for. I spoke early on about exchanging information, and Amy expanded a little bit more on talking about the bidirectional exchange of information in real time. So that's our concept of what we're looking for in interoperability. Is there a sort of follow-up question there that might be a little bit more precise about what I could add to this question or in answering this question? Or Amy, do you have some other comments or
Yes, I think we're very happy about CDC support and promotion of bidirectional data exchange, because we think that this is going to give the greatest value to the providers, to the community, and to the IISs. And in particular, we'd really like to see the community move toward real-time bidirectional data exchange so that that immunization record can get to that provider when the child is in the office in front of the provider, and the provider can get an up-to-date vaccine forecast and take every advantage of that opportunity to immunize that child fully on that day. So thank you, Gary, for saying that. If I could just go back to this issue of stage two, meaningful use proposed criteria for EHR certification. This issue of having SOAP be optional is really a problem from our perspective. We would really urge all the states to make comments to say that SOAP should be a required technology for EHRs to support, because this is the this is the transport layer that the expert panel that CDC convened, which included IIS representatives and EHR vendor representatives. The SOAP Web Services was the transport layer that's been recommended by our community. And in order, so we should have that be a required standard for stage two.
We may not have time.
So I'd like to wrap up. That's the limited time we have for questions. I'd like to thank all our presenters today. If you have a question that we were unable to answer, I'm thinking specifically about the question about immunization registries and COCASA. If you could please email that, we would be happy to provide an answer. The email address is NIPNIC@CDC.gov. Again, I'd like to remind people of the CE information for your reference. The course number for today's session, if you're viewing it live, is WC1967. And the verification code for this session is 7NICO2012. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I hope you'll be able to join us for the next session on vaccine safety.